It took a little while to get going, but here your clones come. I like it. Finally. All right, content getting much better. We go into our third and final hour, and the reason I bring that up is I'm giving away a Masterbuilt smoker. Best content gets it. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. We are live. We are in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. You can win that Masterbuilt smoker with a good phone call. You can win it with a great tweet, great email, any kind of post on any of our social. Step it up. We're talking hockey next segment. Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice joins me then. As an example, a number of you are not wanting to hear anything about the referees jamming the Saints. Like this guy. Hey, New Orleans Saints fans. Bohica, baby. Hey, Alvin, how about a little bit of background? I hate to actually spell it out myself, but for those who do not know what that means, can you help them?
Boston is now the city of champions. Get used to it. Deal with it, okay? And until you step up and bring home some hardware, you earn the right to talk the smack. Not just because you're from Cleveland, okay? Bohica, buddy. That stands for bend over, here it comes again.
A phrase that I had never heard before that guy called, and one that I wish that I can unhear and never hear ever again. Which brings me back to this email. Hey, New Orleans Saints fans. Bohica, baby. You dominated most of the game, yet your coach decided to continuously get cute numerous times and to take one of the best quarterbacks of all time out from under center and kill all momentum and allowed the Rams to hang around. And then what happens? You get jobbed by the Zebras, who apparently used to be an L.A. Ram. Matt in Poland Springs.
Bohica, buddy.
They had him on the ropes early on. They had them in trouble early on. They had both hands around their throat early on and couldn't choke him out. Rams are tough. The Rams are really tough. L.A. is a football town. I tweeted it yesterday. They're going to the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, they were 4-12, and now they're going to the Super Bowl, and they were the early favorite. And Ryan in H-Town tweets, by the way, that guy is on the short list for a smoker, the last one I read. Ryan in Houston tweets, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Not two, not three.
Not four, not five, not six, not seven. Signed Rogan Loam, counting years at Wisconsin.
Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam is not in high school yet, so I'm not going to go like real tough love yet. But Rogues is going to have to get his ass in gear if he's going to get in Wisconsin. Jake Grinds. Rogues will look for a shortcut if you let him.
Rogan Loam.
At Hitman Canadian tweets, Jim, why does Slater always pick me in overtime? Sign Flight Deck. Heads. Because it's always right.
Idiot kicker.
Dear Rome, easy on us. We did see a near head slap on Tom on 3rd and 10. Sign the refs in KC. Dave near Milwaukee wore the hoodie, living up to his name yesterday. It was unbelievable. Brady was unbelievable. Edelman was unbelievable. Gronk had a big game. Man, here's the thing. All that stuff about how do you disrespect us, bet against us, almost everything that was being said about them was right. It was right. They lost to Jacksonville early in the year. They lost to the Lions earlier in the year. They had a losing record on the road this season. Until the very end, it still wasn't known whether or not they were going to get that bye in the first round. All the things that were being said about them were fair, and most were accurate. But they found a way to get right when they had to, and they played their best when they needed it most, and they peaked at the right time. Credit for doing that. But for them to sit back and say, hey, how do you disrespect us like this? Because you earned the disrespect. You didn't look like yourselves, but you do now. So I'll crack them for that then, but give them credit for right now. And this is why I'm never going to bet against these guys ever again. I'll never go against these guys ever again. They're not done until the Hood and TB12 say they're done. All right, then. Let's see. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Phoenix. Ryan. It's good to have you. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, just want to say congratulations to the Rams. I'm a lifelong Ram fan. The Saints played their heart out, but the referees blew that whole game. They had bad calls on both sides. I counted at least three face masks. The play clock when the Saints scored both their touchdowns was on zero. How can you not see zero flashing red?
All right, Ryan, let me respond. Let me first off say, Ryan, the smoker is not yours. Which brings me to something really interesting. Our podcast guest tomorrow is Maury Povich.
Andrew, you are not the fire.
Let me ask you something. And Maury's been on the show once. He took part in the Clone's Choice Awards, and he was great. So he is actually going to be a long-form guest. He'll be our podcast guest. Have you ever seen anybody happier than goofy TB12 was yesterday? When, and understandably so, man, he was unbelievable. And he's going to the Super Bowl for the ninth time. Name one person happier about anything in life than Tom Brady was about going back to the Super Bowl. I can only think of one person. Andrew, when he found out that he was not the father.
Andrew, you are not the father.
Seriously. I've seen lottery winners that were not that happy. I mean, that is unbridled joy. Never mind that somewhere some kid's life is ruined before it even starts. Never mind that the mother has no idea who the father is. We just know that it's not Andrew.
Andrew, you are not the father.
Maury Povich tomorrow. Dear Romy, we did it! We did it! Regards the NFC Championship officiating crew.
We did it! We did it!
Geoff and Lincoln. At Table Slam Fan tweets, Jim, you can take that missed PI, the overturned fumble, and the rest of this weekend's BS and ram it.
Ram it.
Well, that's got to be a tough call for a lot of you because a lot of you hate L.A., right? Almost everybody hates L.A. But right about now, a lot of people are not cool with the Patriots. Who are you going to root for now? You know, Boston will start with that stupid beat L.A. chant again for a team that's been back in L.A. for 2 years. That was 4-12 3 years, was 4-12 2 years ago. Now, who do you root for? Now, it's great from that standpoint, L.A. and Boston. But if you're a football fan and your team is not in it, who are you going to root for? If you hate L.A., because normally you just hate L.A., and you're sick of the Patriots, and you don't want to see them there. I'm really curious. And then Chiefs fans, I got to ask you, how y'all feeling this morning? All right, so I let it go for a couple hours. How y'all feeling right now? After the NFC Championship game, I was thinking the Saints fans were about to have the worst Monday ever. After all, they had their hearts ripped out by the Vikings last year and then by the refs yesterday. So it can't get any worse than that, right? Well, it can. Kansas City saw what happened to the Saints and shouted loudly in the most cliche and overused voice ever, "Hold my beer." Chiefs fans, be honest. You knew something like this was going to happen. You knew deep down, the last night was going to be painful, and it was going to be brutal. But at least it looked like it was going to be over quickly when the Patriots dominated from the start. New England rolls into Arrowhead, and they roll out a perfect game plan. They go right down the field on one of those marathon opening drives, 15 plays, 80 yards, more than 8 minutes long. The kind of drive that wrecked the Chargers last weekend. The kind of drive that took the crowd out of the game last night. Let me take a moment right now for the Patriots. That was an amazing performance. Clutch as hell, predictable as hell, and still unreal as hell. Man, they seized the moment like nobody has ever seized it before. There will be a time to hype them again. We've got two entire weeks to hype them. The next 2 weeks are about New England, but let me take a moment and talk about Kansas City, because it looked like all of last night was going to be about New England, all about New England, when they jumped out 14-0 before halftime when they did this.
Brady takes the snap, back three steps, he pumps, he looks long, he throws it down the left side for Dorsett, yes! And he makes the catch in the end zone! Touchdown, yes! Patriots!
What did I just tell you? You forget about him, and that's what this team's about!
See, the thing about that is, I mean, that was so brutal, because as badly as the Chiefs played in the first half, getting to the locker room down 7-0 would have been a huge win. Instead, they go in down 14-0, and they were in trouble. And the Chiefs fans knew it. But then KC comes out. They go 74 yards in four plays for a touchdown, 14-7. Game on. Hope is still alive. But like the man said, hope is a dangerous thing. Nobody knows that better than KC fans right now, because they started to hope. They started to believe. They knew it was probably going to end in the worst way possible, because it always does with their team in the playoffs. But they somehow were able to push that thought to the very back of their minds. They started to think, maybe it is different. We have Patrick Mahomes. Maybe this year is different. And down 17-14, they got the break they needed when Julian Edelman did this.
Left foot's the punt. It's high and short. It's relatively short, in fact. It's going to take a bounce across the 35. Mishandled by Edelman. Picked up on the run by Dieter. Unencumbered to the end zone. On the muff. Gehrig Dieter will recover at the 22-yard line.
After reviewing the play, you determined that the receiver did not touch the ball. Therefore, the ball is dead in the spot of Kansas City's recovery. The ball will be New England's ball at that spot.
Uh-oh! KC's going crazy. You punch that in, you got a whole new ball game. But then it got ripped from them, because that's how it always goes for Kansas City in the playoffs. You come so close, then you get your heart ripped out, and you have the opposition show that heart to you. KC fan, I know how much this hurts. In fact, I'm going to stop right now, because I know how much this hurts. When we come back, we talk to Paul Maurice. And then maybe I'll get back to the Chiefs, because I know it hurts. Stay tuned. Chiefs fans, if you're ready to talk about it, you know where to find me. If you come in here and it's brutal enough, you might win a Masterbuilt smoker. Paul Maurice is next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. What do you say we go ahead and talk some hockey? Not just hockey. Let's talk some Winnipeg Jets hockey. We are joined by the head coach of the Jets. He is in his sixth season with Winnipeg. He is closing in on 700 career wins. He led Winnipeg to the Western Conference Finals last season. They're in first place in the Central right now. They're at Philadelphia next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by the head coach of the Jets, Paul Maurice. Paul, it's so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Yeah, good, Jim. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to visit with you. So let me start here. You are the coach of the Central Division team at Saturday's All-Star Game. So why don't we start there? How do you go about approaching that game itself and the entire All-Star experience?
You know what? Have a whole hell of a lot of fun. I got two guys on the team, Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler. It's Mark's first. It's Blake Wheeler's second. After that, so look at the best of times, the players don't want to listen to the coach. They're sure not listening at an All-Star game. So,
right. Like
I said, I'm going to try to pick a good suit and stand in the right spot on the bench and smile a lot. That'll be about it.
My man, Paul Maurice, that's a great plan, joining us to talk about that. All right, so you're just over a week off at this point when you've got a chance to step back and kind of look at how your team has gone through the first few months of the season. As you look at what you have this year, what kind of thoughts do you have, and how would you describe where you are right now?
You know, last year we had a pretty good run. It's kind of a breakout year for us. We finished with like about 114 points, second in the NHL. And then we graduated about five guys that were in their 30s, so we got quite a bit younger. We weren't particularly worried about it, but there's some growth that has to go along with it. So we're pleased with where we're at right now because the Central Division is tough hockey. It's hard to survive it just on from a health point of view, but we still got a long way to go. We think we're capable of contending for a cup, but we don't think we're there yet. So we've got these 2 or 3 months before the season ends are really, really important to us just in terms of development of all these young guys. But we think we're close enough. We just know we got a lot of work to do before that. You know, when the dance starts here in April, we got confident we're going to be there, but we got some work to do to be good.
We're talking Winnipeg Jets hockey. Head coach Paul Maurice is my guest. Now, you are in first in the Central, despite the fact, though, that Patrick Laine has scored only one goal this month. What do you make of how he's handled his current stretch?
I'm watching it. That's all I am. So what's happened here is you got a guy. The other stat that's important is he's got 25 goals, right? So he's 20 years old. He's got 25 goals. He's gone on a tough stretch of scoring. And this is important. I mean, these guys have to learn how to go through it. So he's handling it as well as we can. We've changed positions. We had him on the right. We moved him over to the left wing. We like that an awful lot. One of his line mates got injured that he normally plays with, so that may have affected a little bit. But I think with any of these great scores, they go stretches where the puck's just not going. And then that last game, he hit a crossbar at an important time. He missed the net on a real important one. And normally those will go in or one will go in for him. I'm not worried about it. I think he's working as hard as he can. But sometimes I think because a kid scores 44 when he's 19, he's not scoring 88 at 20, you know?
It's incredible, right? I mean, Paul, you never want to put too much on a young kid like that, especially when all eyes are on him. But you've had a chance to coach some really, really talented players. Where does Patrick stack up with the best that you've coached? I mean, what makes him special? What makes him different?
So that shot, and I can't, Jim, I can't explain it to you anymore. I've never seen anybody get a shot off like that around his body. The closest guy ever that I had might have been Brendan Shanahan, and he had a real hard release and could get to the puck in that real quick. But this guy shoots in all different ways. The rest of his game, he's like any other 20-year-old kid. He's got lots to learn. He's going to physically mature into his body. He's a big man. He's going to become a powerful forward. But the shot, it comes off inexplicable to the goalies. They don't know where it's going. It comes off so hot. And he can dig that puck around his feet or anywhere around his body. So what's happened to him now as he gets to the National Hockey League, that shot is still elite, but all the other parts of his game need to improve. And that's a new experience for him. And we're helping him kind of navigate that.
That's a great explanation. Paul Maurice joining us. You know, you mentioned Brendan Shanahan. I got to ask, Shanny, like, what was he like in the room back in the day? How strong of a presence was he?
So that's my first or second year in the NHL. We're the same age. He is all of the things that I think that you see. Like, he's got a great sense of humor, a little bit of a joker, very, very intense and serious when the game was on the line. He could fight, he could drop lives, and he could produce. So he's got the whole spectrum. I think that the personality, he's got a little twinkle in his eye. He can tell a pretty good story. He'd be a lot of fun to drink beer with, I think, but a very, very intense man.
Hey, Paul, you think or you know?
No, coaches and players never mix, man.
Never. I know it. Paul Maurice joining us. I respect it. Listen, I mentioned in the intro, and you're closing in on 700 career wins. It is a huge number, and it's even a bigger number when you consider how your coaching career started. Back in 1987, you were the captain for Windsor in the OHL. The St. Louis Blues sent down a player, which meant that Windsor needed to make a move. The move they made was cutting you at Christmas, even though you were dealing with an eye injury at that time. What do you remember about that time?
I remember I remember the conversation that ended it. I was really upset, not because I thought my career came to I knew my career was coming to an end. I wasn't a great player. I had had the injury. I was just upset because I didn't know what I was going to do next. You know, for all of these guys, whether you retire at 19 or at 42, you're not doing much else in your life but playing hockey. And at that time, you know, there's not much else that I have, right? So what am I going to do next? So the conversation after I was done playing from Jim Rutherford, who's now the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, was I think he should get into coaching. And that's how it happened to fast. So that's how my career started. I got cut one day, and I got hired the next day as an assistant coach. by the gentleman who eventually hired me to coach the Hartford Whalers and the Carolina Hurricanes. He's now in Pittsburgh, and I'm in Winnipeg. So it was the best. It was the worst day of my life, and it turned out to be the best day of my career.
All right, so, Paul, for the record, though, how old were you at that time, and what was your reaction when they first asked you if you might be interested in coaching?
Yeah, so I would have been 21 years old, and my dad asked me that question about 3 years early, probably because he had watched me play. He said, do you ever have any interest in coaching? And I was so insulted by that, right? Like, I thought, why would I coach? I'm going to play 20 years in the NHL, man.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
And then it turns out he was right. You know, it didn't work out that way for me. Coaching was something I enjoyed right from the very start. And once I got started, I kind of knew that that's the career path that I had. But I was shook up. I was a little bit lost there. And I was just, I mean, the big story in my career has always been Jim Rutherford. He's the guy that mentored me and that kept giving me opportunities at a really, really young age to coach in the National Hockey League. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be closing in on 700.
Paul Maurice joining us. So he knew. But as you look back on it, you were named head coach of the Whalers at 28. I mean, that's incredible looking back at that. You said that you weren't ready, but then at the same time, can you ever really be ready for your first NHL job?
Not when you're stepping out of amateur hockey. If you've never if you've never played in the NHL, there's so much to learn. You know, just the daily grind, the daily routine, the logistics of running a team. But at my age, I wasn't ready because I hadn't even defined my own coaching style or really what I believed in. But the advantage that I had is I had a general manager who knew that. He also knew his team wasn't very good. And he figured he might as well get one guy to learn on the job while he was fixing that hockey team. So we were both kind of growing at the same time. I really appreciated the opportunity. I'll tell you what, Jim, I appreciate way more now as I look back how crazy that was for him to do it and the risk that he put his own career at in doing it. The backbone or the spine that took. That's probably the reason why he's got 3 Stanley Cups. You know, he's brilliant at long-terming planning things, but boy, that took some courage to put a kid with no experience behind an NHL bench.
Hey, listen, you're approaching 700 wins, so obviously he knew there was something there, but it's a big swing, right? It's a big swing to take a shot on somebody that young. Paul, before you go, I want to ask you about Winnipeg. I want to make sure Winnipeg gets its fair shake, because you know the rap about Winnipeg that existed in the past. Players would talk about being cold, dark, boring.
Right.
Hell, the San Jose Sharks wondered if there was Wi-Fi in Winnipeg. What do the people have wrong about Winnipeg as a city where you can live and work?
So this is just the story of our family's life. This is home. Like, they've got wonderful, wonderful people. So maybe it's an age of life thing. I don't know if you're ever flying to Winnipeg to go shopping. But if you're looking to have a good life, to raise a family, to have good people around it, and for us, like, hockey is our passion. It's our life. And that's true up here. It's like not like any other Canadian city, though, because they lost their NHL team and they came back. They love them differently. You know, it's the prodigal son here. So they love this team and the players on it. It's a wonderful place to live and work, but most importantly, it's a great place to raise your family. When you have kids and you feel that responsibility of giving them an opportunity to have a good life, Winnipeg, you couldn't ask for anything more.
And then finally, what's clear, and you point out that the city loves the team, but it's a different kind of love because the team was gone and then the team came back.
Right.
Team captain Blake Wheeler said the relationship between the team and the city is a lot like the Green Bay Packers in the sense that they have so much pride in the team. What does that pride mean to you? And then how much of an advantage is that with the home crowd when your team shows up?
Yeah, so you know what? We've got a real, I think we're about 55-13-4 in the last 2 years at home. We've been a really, really powerful home team. You know what, I hope this comes across right. I don't know if I can explain it well enough. I worked in pro sports my whole life. And the best thing I could say is, like, when I die and I got to meet St. Pete at the gates, he's not going to be saying, hey, go on in, you coached in the NHL. You know what I mean? There's got to be more to your life. There's got to be a bit of a social contract. There's got to be something that you give back to people. That's what being in Winnipeg is great. I can work in pro sports but still feel like I'm doing something that's good for your community because they're so connected to it. Hey, you go to a coffee shop in the morning after a win, you got a lot of happy people. After a loss, they're still with you, but they're not quite as happy. So you feel that connection to your community that's a real important thing.
Winnipeg is in first in the Central Division. He is in his sixth season with the Jets, and they're at Philadelphia on next Monday. Paul, I've been looking forward to that, and that more than lived up to the hype. I appreciate you. I appreciate the conversation. That was a blast. Thank you so much.
All right, Jim. Thanks. Anytime, man.
You got it. You have a great day. Paul Maurice, that was so good. Man, now you know why everybody loves him. And what a great story. When his dad said to him, hey, you know anything about coaching? Why would I do that? I'm going to play 20 years in the NHL. And then he goes on, he gets a shot as a 28-year-old to be a head coach in that league. And now it's approaching 700 career wins.
I love when you talk hockey.
You got it, Bella B. Is there anybody listening in Winnipeg? Are there any Jets fans listening? That was so great what he said about Winnipeg. He said, listen, you probably wouldn't come here to go shopping, but it's a great place to live, and it's a great place to work, and it's a great place to raise your family, and it's a great place to be in professional sports. And I love that point also that they always love that team, but the fact that they came back after it was ripped from them, they love them a different way. That is an amazing interview. Tremendous energy. Great perspective. I love that. That was fun. I knew he'd be good. But I have to admit, he was even better than I thought. People love him. All right, so we'll always talk hockey on this show, and I'm not waiting until the postseason out either. Good to get that done. One last segment. I'm trying to give away a Masterbuilt smoker. I've got a couple of leaders in the clubhouse, co-leaders. You can still rip it. It's an amazing product. Best content gets it. Call, tweet, email, content on social, whatever. In the meantime, here's your bottom of the hour sports update. Heat branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system, heat, baby. Also, Monday is an ATP day. You know that. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP, she's back. She's on a heater. Tracy. Nola girl, coming in after a tough loss, too. She tweets, or actually asks, my bad, she did not tweet this. She sent it to the right address. Tracy says, so, you're going to Atlanta for Super Bowl week. Even though the wrong teams will be there, what are you most looking forward to in Atlanta? Tracy, you know how this goes. The best thing about Atlanta is Radio Row, because we have access to so many great guests that ordinarily you wouldn't have access to in person. And generally they are conditional, but it's kind of understood. They get their pitch if they show up with a good attitude and do a good interview. And even if they show up without a really good attitude, I generally give them their pitch. Some of the people that we're looking at this coming week from Atlanta would include Juju Smith-Schuster, Jarvis Landry, and Jerry Rice. So, good guys. Good guests that you would not ordinarily have access to in person. So, that's kind of a blast. Something else I'm looking forward to, Super Bowl Sunday, and getting to hang out with the NFL and CBS crew. I do not know my assignment yet, but I'm going to have something to do for the pregame show. And then Radio Row again. Just seeing that thing change from the start of the week to the end of the week will be tremendous. And since I'm there through Sunday, the weekend should be a blast. Andy Spaeth tweets, how does it feel, Jim? It sucks. Saying something sucks is not a take until one of your star linebackers on a horrible defense lines up offsides and loses the game. It sucks. And I need a Masterbuilt smoker to help me get through this offseason. Thanks. Man, I feel you. That does suck. Not enough for me to give you the Masterbuilt smoker. Well, I mean, it does. But you need to do better than that. That does suck, though. When one of your best players, an all-pro, lines up in the neutral zone on a game-clinching pick that would have sent you to the Super Bowl. Only this, and I tweeted it last night, this could only happen to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Brady takes the snap, dropping back, throws it right underneath, off the hands of Gronkowski, intercepted. It's picked off, and then the ball comes loose from Charvarius Ward, careening out of bounds along the near side. An interception off the hands of Edelman, and then an interception off the hands of Gronkowski. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleve Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Offside. Oh, wow. 55. Line in the neutral zone. Third down.
Obviously, that was Patriots radio. The absolute worst thing. D Ford of all guys, lining up in the neutral zone. The thing that I would say about the Patriots, they don't do stuff like that. Not on the big stage. Not when it matters most. Kansas City, stuff like that always happens to them on the big stage. That's why it's so gut-wrenching. Rome, you're having Povich on the podcast? Are you going to ask him a bunch of questions that you pull out of a manila envelope? Stephen PHX wore Brady wearing a designer scarf and sunglasses during the Super Bowl. Stucknuts in. He tweets, Maury, hell yes. Liz in Fall City tweets, Maury, oh, hell yeah.
Hell yes.
Francis in Glendale at TFP Will Eat tweets, Alvin, you are the father. 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 Signed, Maury.
You are the father.
That's how that's we read. Alvin, you are the father.
You are the father.
Listen, I could do 3 full hours, or I could have done 3 full hours on that yellow napkin that was zip-tied to the back judge's pocket in the Superdome. But give me a minute to put some respect on the one quarterback who was getting absolutely none in the lead-up to Championship Sunday, Jared freaking Goff. Goff had the toughest assignment of any quarterback left standing. He didn't just have to walk into NOLA and beat the Saints. He had to beat the Saints and do it with 75,000 whodats screaming louder than an F-16 jet engine. Every playoff environment is crazy, but I don't think that I've ever seen or heard anything like that one since referee Gordon McCarter asked Chief fans to pipe down and let John Elway hear himself nearly 30 years ago.
Second down. Denver inside their one. Elway is under center. Pulls away again. His hands on his hips. He looks back at Gordon McCarter, the referee, said, hey, what gives?
Again, I have asked the defense to help lower the crowd noise. Any further crowd noise problem will result in a charge timeout against Kansas City. Thank you for your cooperation.
Did that really happen? Stop making so much noise or we're going to charge your team a timeout. The building yesterday, though, was going off. I mean, off. Like, literally, pieces of the Superdome were spontaneously detonating. Tile was dropping from the ceiling. Whistle Man was painted up and straight up piercing eardrums. I tweeted about that too. Robert Klemko posted a video from the press box of his bottled water, and it was straight out of Jurassic Park. Only a T-Rex was not coming for the Jeep. The Saints front seven was coming for Goff. Rams fans, be honest. When you heard that crowd and you saw the Saints jump on LA early on, that thing looked over. It looked like it was over. Hell, when Rams punter Johnny Hecker had the same amount of passing yardage as Rams quarterback Jared Goff after he completed that 12-yard pass on that fake punt by Sean McVay, you didn't see your QB1 picking up that squad and deadlifting them all the way to the Super Bowl. Who saw that? But Goff, he didn't just play like a boss. He did it in the most hostile environment that there could be. Let's be honest. That might be the greatest 25 for 40, 297, one TD, and one pick in the history of football. They had to put tape on his ear holes. He had to sprint all the way out wide to his receivers just so they could hear him talk. And this dude was doing it and spinning dimes under extreme duress. The Saints pass rush was living in the backfield, yet they only got home once. There was not an easy throw to be made, not an easy throw out there. And while nobody's going to send a five-play, 15-yard overtime drive that took 2 minutes and 12 seconds to Canton, the two throws that Goff completed in bonus time were baller. We talked about it earlier in the program with James Jones. On first and 10, he got a throw off to Tyler Higbee right before he got hammered. Then on second and 13, I still have no idea how he made this play. Second and 13 from the Saints 45, after the Saints smashed C.J. Anderson in the backfield, Goff had two dudes ready to drop him before he was even out of his play action fake. And yet somehow he gets a throw off and he makes an enormous play.
Here they are with a chance to win it. Here's Goff throwing. Higbee makes the catch. And what a job by Jared Goff.
That was an amazing play. You take that sack, then they're punting. You take that sack, and then Drew Brees gets another crack at it. But he made that throw, and then Legatron blasted it through from 57 to win it. Sean McVay told Mike Silver postgame, "I don't think most people understand how incredible that pass was. For Jared to have the presence to do that in that moment, it's hard to put into words. But that's what he does. He does not get rattled, no matter the moment." Let's be real. That was a Jared Goff win for the offense. Brandon Cooks had a nice day, 107 yards. Tyler Higbee made some clutch catches. Todd Gurley, though, was a no-show. 4 carries, 10 yards, 2 terrible drops, one which led to an interception. Even the self-proclaimed fat back was kept on lockdown. CJ had just 44 yards on 16 carries. The Saints did a nice job on Robert Woods. You can call that dude a system quarterback all you want, but that system quarterback walked into the Saints' house and ripped 200 gur of cash from the glass case and a trip to the Super Bowl. And if you didn't know that this kid was a badass before that brawl, now you do. System QB, my ass. Can't help but think about my man, Trevor Price, when I see something like that. I had to tweet him last night. Hey, Trev, about that Rams implosion, ... He was calling it all year long on the RPO podcast. I'm telling you, you wait. It doesn't work. Those all-star teams do not work. You can't put a team of alphas together. It will not work. The guy's a system quarterback. They're going to rip apart. It will not work. You know, I finally let that go because I've never really had a co-host, and I was pumped to have a co-host, and I love Trev. But even he had a tweet in response. Not you too, Rome. Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike. It brings the energy of live studio classes right to your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine. With the Peloton bike, it is always the perfect weather to sweat. Learn more at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com. The winner is of the Masterbuilt Smoker, Matt in Poland Springs, for having one of the better contributions, but more for his body of work. It's you, Matt. It's all you, Matt. You win. Congrats. My thanks to Paul Maurice, Ethan Happ, James Jones. Back at it tomorrow. I'll be at Torrey Pines on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. You have a great day. We're out.